Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Now, I'm being told we have a little bit of breaking news. Yeah, caw-worthy news. The governor of New York State, Andrew Cuomo, just spoke and said this.
I also have been encouraging major sports teams to plan reopenings without fans, but the games could be televised. New York State will help those major sports franchises to do just that. Hockey, basketball, baseball, football, whoever can reopen, we're a ready, willing, and able partner. Personal disclosure, I want to watch the Buffalo Bills, but I'm still objective. I'm acting as governor. There's no personal agenda here. Yes, I do want to watch the Bills, but that is not subverting my role as governor. I think this is in the best interest of all the people and in the best interest of the state of New York.
Well, that is unbelievable news. The fact that we are now at the point where we can reopen to think about sports. I mean, it's the best news we've had in a long time.
Governor Cuomo's a Bills fan?
Front runner.
That's disgusting.
Front runner.
Yeah, they're the team of the game. I mean, now Brady's gone. I mean, who's is it the Bills or the Jets?
Well, it's the Bills, but hardly what I call a Bills fan a front runner.
Let's go, Bills!
A Bills fan is not a front runner.
currently a front runner.
Oh, okay.
Currently.
Governor Cuomo is a Bills fan?
I am a Bills fan.
I just don't understand. If you're made, let's just say, keep this to Major League Baseball, right? And after reading through the proposal and everything else, it blew my mind. Like, with all the different things that the players are going to be responsible for, I mean,
right,
how it makes sense that they should have a 50-50 split is still beyond me. Doesn't make any sense. But if you're so concerned about people being at games, why would you even consider having games in New York if you're the Mets or the Yankees? Wouldn't you be more likely to at some point over the next couple months have fans in seats in Florida than you are in New York?
100%.
But doesn't this have to do with the comfort level of the players rather than what's in the best interest of the product?
Yeah, but have you seen the comfort level in general? Like, even if it's your home stadium, they don't want you to shower, you can't spit, you can't, I mean, you're sitting in the stands. It's going to be brutal regardless of where you're at.
Listen, I get it, but I think that the players, if they're going to be inconvenienced to this level, they would prefer to be in, you know, a setting or an environment that they're comfortable with. And let's face it, you're more comfortable at your home stadium than you are at your team's spring training site.
But most of the guys have houses down at their spring training sites.
Yeah, but most of them also have houses where they play at too.
Yeah, but do you really want to go and bring this up? Oh, maybe I'm just speaking for myself. I mean, I wouldn't want to be around my family anyway.
No, you're probably right. I just thought that the players were the ones that were pushing for it to be at the home stadium more so than the owners. Because if you're the owners, it doesn't really matter, right? It doesn't matter if you're playing it on your spring training field or at your home field. Does it make a difference if there are no fans involved?
I think you're closer to having fans in Florida than you would be in New York.
Yes. I would be shocked if you saw fans in the stands in New York this season.
Yeah, but here's the other thing, though, too.
Yeah.
So if you're playing at home stadiums, after reading through this proposal, right, and there's still, I mean, this is just the initial proposal. If you're playing now at your home stadium and you still have to travel, even though you're going to be on the East Coast, you have to travel, there's still real no definitive answer. If you test positive on the road, like, what happens? Do I just stay on the road? Like, do you just keep me at this hotel? Like, how do I get home? It'd be a whole hell of a lot easier if all the teams you were playing are in Florida. You could just jump in a rental car and get yourself home as opposed to being stuck somewhere. No?
Yeah, I guess.
I would agree.
Honestly, I don't care what they do. If you can play it on Jupiter, just give me sports back.
I just don't know how it would make any sense. I can't imagine. You're 100% right. I can't imagine seeing fans in seats in Citi Field or Yankee Stadium.
No way.
If that is, 40% of your revenue, there's probably a legitimate chance. I mean, Cassie's family lives in Florida. Like, how people in Florida are viewing COVID-19 is a whole hell of a lot different than how we view it here in New York.
Yep.
Right? So, I mean, they're closer to being, whatever the normal is, they're closer to being that kind of normal than we are.
So I guess the question becomes, what's the value of being able to have games in the tri-state area if you're not able to have fans here? There's got to be some reason that Governor Cuomo is saying that they are a willing partner with these sports franchises in order to, you know, resume having sporting events.
It sounds more to like open up football camps, though, doesn't it?
Well, like for whatever reason it is, I mean, there's clearly something that's the motivating factor. I mean, I feel like this is in reaction to what Governor DeSantis down in Florida said last week, where sports teams that aren't able to, you know, start their play because of what's going on with the local ordinances and the precautions, they're more than welcome to come down to Florida. I think this has to be in some way a reaction to that. The only question is, what's the value in having those teams play here if there are no fans in the venues?
I guess the hope would be that it would, I mean, because
eventually you'd be able to open up.
Yeah, eventually be able to open up, and the players would be happy because they could stay home.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, whatever. As far as cost and everything else are concerned, I mean, at some point the finances are going to be an issue, right? And this whole thing getting started for Major League Baseball, finances will be an issue. I mean, aren't you saving too, as far as costs are concerned, if you're owners with everyone in Florida, as opposed to having to pay for, you know, chartering jets and everything else to travel up the East Coast?
Yeah, if you just locked away in one location.
Yeah, I mean, just, it seems like financially it would make more sense.
I guess for the states it would make sense financially too, because all of the taxable income that you would have from the players. Like if the players are actually playing in New York State as opposed to playing in Florida, it's a lot of taxable revenue that's generated from just those guys that are on the roster.
And by the way, I had a friend of mine that drove from here to Florida and said it took him an extra 3 hours to get in, like the trip took an extra 3 hours because of the check, to try to get through the checkpoint into Florida.
Really?
Yeah, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut have their own line. There's a New York, New Jersey, Connecticut lane to get into Florida.
So if you're from one of those states, you have to go on a separate line altogether.
In a separate line altogether, yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy.
It is. The whole thing is unbelievable. Like, I have a feeling at least once a day of, like, we're really living through this?
It feels like a nightmare that we can't wake up from, doesn't it?
But don't you feel like I just have this hit once a day of, like, I can't believe this is happening.
It happened to me yesterday, sitting on the driveway. I was talking to my buddy Pete, and I just was like, we're just sitting there talking. I was like, I can't believe this is real life. Because he's a teacher, and we're just going back and forth. What do you think school is going to be and everything else? And I was like, I can't believe this is what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah. I mean, de Blasio said, I think at some point over the weekend, it all melds together at this point, that, I mean, they might not open schools in September right now.
But how do you, but here's the thing. How do you open school? Okay, so the kids, you know this, Dave. You have two kids. It's a cesspit. Like, how often are your kids, especially, I mean, how often are your kids sick during the school year?
They get sick often.
Once a month?
Oh, I don't know what the rate is, but it's often.
It's often. So, okay, I mean,
and if a kid gets a stomach virus at school, you can bet that the entire class is going to have it by the end of the month.
The entire class. And then what happens to the parents? I mean, the parents are the higher risk, right? Supposedly, the parents are the higher risk. So the kids are going to bring it back to the house. And what happens to the parents?
It's terrifying. But now they've just found this like secondary infection where the kids get COVID.
The Kawasaki. Yeah,
they recover from it, and then they get this terrifying additional infection.
Yeah, the inflammation. Yes, it's brutal. This is brutal.
The whole thing is terrifying. It really is. All right, let's get to a call or two. Let's go to Rich in Hackensack. Rich, you're on 98.7.
Hey, you guys. How you doing?
All right.
Hey, I listen almost every day, and I have an answer for this the coaching thing in football, and that is I work for a big company that has 300,000 employees, and years ago, and the problem with the NFL, it takes time and development and programs. So about, I don't know, 20 years or 15 years ago, they put together, they wanted to get more women in executive level management and upper level management. So what they did is they identified the top 100 candidates and they put them through symposiums. They gave them mentorships. They, you know, really worked on developing those people. And it took time. Now, probably 40% of the people that are in executive level management are women. It takes time. And what's happened is they haven't done a good job. And you can't keep throwing Band-Aids at it. You have to kind of stick to the program, develop the people, identify the people that have the potential to do it. And they haven't assessed the right candidates. They haven't to put the program in place to develop them. So that's what they need to do. It's not – there's no – That's the formula. I mean, just look at big business. That's what they've done to get minority candidates in higher-level positions.
Rich, I'm not saying that there's not value in what you're talking about, but I don't think it's as much about the development as it is about getting them the opportunities. Because I do believe that you have position coaches and coordinators right now in the NFL that are black that are qualified to be a head coach, that if they got the job, they would do really well. So I think it just a matter of being able to create the opportunities. And in order for those opportunities to happen, for owners, for presidents to get comfortable with hiring a position coach or a black coordinator to be a head coach, they have to have a relationship. You have to put them in proximity. They have to be comfortable with that individual becoming the new face of their franchise, the person that's going to lead their team into the foreseeable future. And I think that just being able to get owners and team presidents comfortable with the idea of having a black head coach or a black general manager, that's really what you're trying to do. Now, listen, the symposium, I think that has tremendous amount of value, being able to have some mentorship programs, you know, leadership development, skill building, you know, organizational philosophy development, all of those things have their place. But I think the bigger issue is breaking down some of the prejudices and the biases that these owners have when it comes to their hiring practices for top level jobs. And the only way to do that is for them to actually get to know the individual candidates, to get to know the men of color that could potentially lead their team in the future.
Right. What do we have? Three black coaches right now?
You got three black coaches. You got four minorities if you include Ron Rivera, and you got two black general managers, that being Chris Greer in Miami, Andrew Berry in Cleveland. And I guess you could put an asterisk by Will McClay because he pretty much is the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. But, I mean, that's it, Dave.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about the top jobs in the National Football League of the 64 general manager and head coach jobs. You've got five men of color.
Mm-hmm.
Six men of color. So that's what we're looking at right now.
Yeah, it's awful.
You got to do something. You have to do something. And I cannot believe or accept that you don't have coaches or scouts that are competent to be head coaches and general managers. I don't believe that that's the case. I don't believe that that's all we have in the National Football League. So it's just a matter of getting the people that do have the ability to lead organizations, to be a GM or a head coach. It's about getting them the opportunity to do so, creating that. And to me, that means bringing owners and team presidents closer to those candidates.
Yeah, I agree. Something has to be done, and hopefully it gets done. And I don't know if this rule passes or not, but hopefully if it does, it certainly will change things. One would hope. All right, Rick, are you ready?
I am ready, my friend.
Cuddle, marry, trash? I'm going to present it as cuddle, marry, trash, and if you choose to change the name of it at any point, that will be on you, and then I will do so in turn.
Okay. I mean, that's more of a Santiago question. I mean, Santi, where do we stand as far as, I know it was kind of short notice. Do we have any sound for the new title, or should we stick with the
Let's stick with the old title for today, and maybe we can have something better tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. A Hulk sounder for Smash? Hulk Smash? Something like that. I don't know.
Guys, I got a nomination. Somebody that texted me that listens to the show faithfully, they said we could try to name the segment Crave, Save, and Grave. Just a suggestion that I wanted to float out there because they asked me to.
Crave, Save, and Grave.
Yeah, see, these are all good suggestions. Unfortunately, for a lot of these suggestions, is trying to find the appropriate sounder to make it more enjoyable is not easy.
Hulk! Smash! And then the suits have to agree on it too, right?
Exactly right, because I thought our first, I thought the Mike Breen, I mean, friend of the station.
Loved it,
I loved it.
I mean, it's an epic call.
Epic call. I mean, that's you're talking about a guy who does it on national television. So I didn't think it was that offensive, but apparently it was. So here we go. Let's go with Cuddle, Marry, Trash, NFC North edition. You guys ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
All right, here we go. Aaron Rodgers will reassert himself this season, because his feelings are a little bit hurt, as the best quarterback in the entirety of the NFL.
Oh, my God. No. No. Tie it up, double knot it, open the garbage, and throw it in.
Look at this garbage!
No. There's no way. Aaron Rodgers is still good. He's still upper echelon. He will never again be what Patrick Mahomes is. It's just not an option. So, no, I feel completely confident. Not only do I feel confident that I will trash it, which I've just done, I feel equally confident that Chris will also open the garbage and trash it as well.
Yeah, Dave, I need one of those hefty, heavy-duty trash bags for what Rick just threw out. There's no shot, man. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, even though from a skill standpoint, he's still a top-five quarterback, when it comes to the production, I just think that there are too many guys that are going to be ahead of him, too many guys that have more weapons than he does. So, yeah, I'm going to throw that in the garbage.
Yeah.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
By the way, too, those trash bags overrated, too, by the way. I mean, those they rip repeatedly. Embarrassing. It's an embarrassment.
Sorry.
Here we go. And I set you up for this next one. The reason why I asked this question is because I'm going to give you this one next. Mm-hmm. The Minnesota Vikings will win the NFC North.
Boy, I mean, this is not a slam dunk. The Minnesota Vikings will win the NFC North. Chris, it's your turn. I'll let you start this one.
I'm going to smash that, Dave. I like it. I like it. I'm not going to marry.
I'm confused now.
If it was
we're cuddling. We're cuddling.
We're cuddling.
Someone
it.
We're cuddling it.
It's cuddle, marry, trash.
Till tomorrow. Yeah, till tomorrow.
Okay, till tomorrow. Marry, okay. Trash, yeah. All right. Well, you threw a curveball at me, Rico. Listen, I thought we were changing it on the fly. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to like it. Whatever we have for like. Is that cuddle?
You're cuddling.
Okay, the Minnesota Vikings winning the NFC North. That's going to be my cuddle buddy. I like what Mike Zimmer has been building. They gave Kirk Cousins the extension this offseason. They traded away Stephon Diggs, who was disgruntled, and they got Justin Jefferson, a receiver, in the first round. I like that tandem that he's going to be able to have with Adam Thielen, but I just feel really good about them playing rock solid defense and Kirk Cousins not losing them the games. And then I think Cousins took a step forward when he was able to win that playoff game down in New Orleans this year. So I like the Vikings picking up where they left off last year.
There really is only one answer to this question. You can't trash it because they're a good football team. You can't marry it because the Packers are clearly standing in the way. So the only appropriate answer, which Chris clearly went with, is cuddle, which is what I will go with as well.
Does someone need a hug?
I mean, they have a good chance to win this division. The only team standing in their way is Green Bay. The other two teams I don't think are of that level. Chicago and Detroit might be one of the worst teams in the NFL. So I agree. And we're right. We'll both equally cuddle it.
All right, I like those answers. How about this one? You ready for this one?
No, we're ready.
Here we go. Mitchell Trubisky will be the week one starter for the Chicago Bears.
Now, I know if you were asked this, you would marry right up to that. I don't think so. Nick Foles is better. I mean, they've already haven't picked up the fifth year. They brought in Foles, so I'm gonna trash it. I think Nick Foles, week one, is your starting quarterback. Giants will get to see him. Week two out in Chicago, Nick Foles is the quarterback. So I will trash the notion that Mitchell Trubisky is your starting QB in Chicago week one.
Look at this garbage!
I'm right there.
The best part of that soundbite is Kay's like, I don't know what he's like. do you hear that?
There is something going on behind that. I'm going to trash it too, Dave. This is hot, stinky garbage juice. I just don't see Mitch Trubisky having an opportunity to be the week one starter because I think they traded for Nick Foles with him being the guy in mind. I mean, they're committing $20 million a year for the next, 3 years on Foles? Ugh. So I think that the fact that they had to go out and trade for him lets you know that Matt Nagy, their head coach, is probably out on Trubisky being his guy. So I'm going to throw that in the trash. I think Nick Foles is the Bears week one starter.
I don't know. I mean, this is like a snake.
That is the worst, though, Katie. The garbage juice, like when they get that juice on the bottom of your garbage can.
Yes.
The worst.
Garbage juice, yeah.
Here we go. And you're going to love this. This is just phenomenal two seasons. Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions are 9-22-1 over the last two seasons. Does Matt Patricia make it through this season?
Chris, you can go ahead, but I have my answer if you need me to start.
I'm going to say that I'm going to cuddle this one. I think he does make it through the season. I think they fire him at the end of the season. I don't see Detroit being very competitive in that division. I just don't. I think it's a two-team race. And if there was a third team that got involved, I would probably give the edge to the Bears over the Lions. But that being said, I don't think that there's anything to be gained for Detroit to fire Matt Patricia in the middle of the season just because I don't think they have a candidate in-house that they think can be capable of leading that team beyond 2020. So because they don't have an interim coach that I feel great about on staff, I'm going to go with Matt Patricia making it through the season.
Does someone need a hug?
All right, you can't marry it because that would show extreme confidence.
No.
I'm not going to trash it because I think there's a better than average chance that he does make it through the season. So again, by process of elimination, I'm gonna cuddle right into this one. I'm gonna bring it over. I'm gonna cuddle with it. I think he makes the season. I don't think they're a very good football team, but I think that they will probably ride the year out with Matt Patricia. And then I agree with Chris. At the end of the year, they'll be looking for a new head coach. But I'll cuddle into the fact that he makes it through the year.
All right, so we went coach. Seat is, for the most part, a little hot, a little warm. He's got a warm seat. However, now we'll switch to GM. The Chicago Bears GM, Ryan Pace, has the absolute hottest seat in the NFL.
In the NFL, huh?
In the NFL.
No. I'm going to trash that.
We ain't got to look further than New York for that one.
Yeah, I'm going to trash that right now.
Look at this garbage!
And I look no further than one Dave Gettleman as the hottest seat in the NFL. I mean,
yeah, but at least he's got the quarterback. At least Dave Gettleman's got the quarterback.
Yeah, but
Ryan Pace already whiffed on the quarterback.
Yeah, but at least they made the playoffs in the last couple of years. I mean, the Giants have been
the
worst
2 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Giants have been the worst team the last 3 years under Gettleman.
The Giants stink.
Only
he just drafted a guy, moved up to draft a guy that was in jail. And had a $200,000 bond to be able to get out. So no, I will trash that every day of the week. The hottest seat in the NFL for GM is not Ryan Pace. Not
Case looks
close.
Murky though, Dave. Case looks murky. Yeah. What do you think, Canty?
Yeah, I'm going to trash that one too. I'm going to trash
it. You guys aren't even going to cuddle that. You're just going to straight trash.
Nah, that's trash. That's dumpster fire worthy. Yeah, that's not, yeah.
What happens if Nick Foles stinks too? You already whiffed on Mitch Trubisky and then Nick Foles does what he usually does.
But again, they were in the playoffs. In recent memory.
And you know what? They're a more talented team than the Giants are right now.
You went up from 3-2 to get Mitch Trubisky.
Listen, that was a terrible decision to pass on Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Nobody's going to defend that. But at least, Ryan Pace was involved with getting Matt Nagy from the Kansas City Chiefs, so he made that hire. So, I mean, yeah. You don't feel good about the quarterback he got, but you do feel good about the coach he got.
And you didn't ask us, is the seat hot for Ryan Pace?
You shouldn't even have a seat.
Is it the hottest seat? And the answer is no, it's not the hottest seat.
It shouldn't be a seat. And then he signed Jimmy Graham and gave him a 2-year, $16 million deal with $9 million guaranteed.
You're swaying the witness. You're asking us a question.
Rick, the last 3 years, the Giants are 12-36.
Ooh.
12-36.
Yeah, it's not great.
How'd they do against Mitchell Trubisky last year?
That wasn't good.
Yeah, they lost.
Different expectations. Yeah, you're rebuilding. Here we go. Last question for the NFC North. The NFC North will have two teams make the playoffs.
I'm gonna walk down the aisle. I'm gonna marry that.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Yeah, I think that Green Bay and Minnesota are two of the better teams in the NFC. I think they both go to the postseason. I feel completely confident in that conviction, and I'll marry it. I'll marry it over and over.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about you, Christopher?
Rick, I'm going to trash that.
Wow.
I'm going to trash that, yeah, because I'm looking at every other division in the conference, and I feel good about the top two teams in those other divisions more so than the Packers and the Vikings. Like in the NFC East, I feel better about the 1-2, that is the Eagles and the Cowboys, in the NFC South, Saints and Bucks, NFC West, 49ers and Seahawks. So yeah, I think the NFC North, they're only going to have one representative in the postseason, even though we do have expanded playoffs.
Look at this garbage!
Speaking of Seattle, how about the news that Seattle actually considered trading Russell Wilson to Cleveland?
Crazy, right? For the first pick in 2018? That is crazy. Insane.
They're lucky they didn't do it.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, can we agree? I mean, he does not get nearly as much respect as he should.
Oh, Russell 100%. Wilson. 100%. I don't know why.
Russell Wilson is the second best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, you can argue that.
I
don't know if it's an argument.
That's what I was about to say. I don't even think it's much of an argument. Not at this point.
Who else would be up in that range of being number two right now?
I would say Aaron Rodgers is up there still.
Is better.
Lamar Jackson
and Deshaun Watson are both in the conversation for being top five quarterbacks. Carson Wentz is flirting with trying to get in the top five. He's just got to stay healthy. I mean,
he's always hurt.
I think Russell Wilson is clearly the second best quarterback in the NFL.
I think that's fair.
Probably got to throw Sam Darnold in the mix.
Yeah, get him right in there.
Big year, Dave. Third year.
All right, fellas, I love Optimistic Rick.
That is today's cuddle, marry, trash for the NFC North,
which could be changed by tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, tonight. Who knows? You never know. See what happens.
And that's why you got to tune in, because you don't know what the name of the segment will be. Same parameters.
You don't know the segment, but you know it will be tomorrow will be the AFC North. So you know that.
AFC North tomorrow. Now, when do you dip outside of football and start to bring other sports into the mix?
When we actually have other sports. Yeah. Would you like a NASCAR edition or a Bundesliga?
I would not. No.
How about a UFC?
I'm not opposed to a baseball edition.
Did you watch UFC?
No.
I did.
Soccer.
Big Ticket got a little excited in the first round, going with the kick and slipped.
Yeah, he did. That was it. Yeah, he did.
How much sports did you watch this weekend? Did you watch a decent amount?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the UFC.
Right.
I watched The Last Dance. I watched the golf. I watched as much as I could have.
Any NASCAR at all?
No, I didn't. No, we had some movie stuff going on. I got the flood. There was a lot going on, Dave. A lot going on.
All right, guys. Everyday actions, of course, help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or your sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. Now, a couple of tweets that have rolled in. Joey Bag of Donuts says, all right, if you can use Smash, how about Smash Dash and Cash?
Yeah, that's okay, too.
Yeah? He says Hulk sound for Smash, Roadrunner sound for Dash, and the Chicken sound for Cash.
Time out. So when I was coming up with this game, right, it's one of our favorite games. When we're not on the actual air, right, we're not on ESPN radio.
Yes.
There's a much different name to this game, right, that we play occasionally. So yes. I actually like the concept of the game. What I was trying to do by bringing the game to the table is also incorporate things from the station. Like sounders, like Mike Breen sounder's a great sounder. We got Don sounder. So I'm not necessarily looking for like outside sound.
Gotcha.
Unless it's funny. Hulk saying Smash is not funny. The Roadrunner doing beep beep is not funny. I'm looking for this to be entertaining, funny, and also highlighting yours and Chris's knowledge of the NFL. That's what this is meant for.
I like it. So you've put even more thought than anybody has realized.
And that's
the beauty of you. Yes, we appreciate it. All right, Mega Millions giving you 274 million reasons to take a chance. That's a whole lot of millions in New Jersey. One mega chance could be all it takes. So take a chance on Mega Millions because anything can happen in Jersey. And without any further ado, let's go.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knob Servation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. Monday edition of Knob Servations. I'm going to start with some good news. And this good news is, for one, Christopher Canty and his future wife. Christopher, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but CBS announced Friday that because there will be no 2020 Tony Awards, mark this on your calendar, June 7th at 8:30 p.m., they will air a sing-along version of, you guessed it, the 1978 film Grease. You're welcome.
You've got to be.
Why do you say you're welcome?
That?
Like, that's a good thing.
Well, it's a good thing. In the moment, as you're watching it, you won't thank me. But after the show, you'll thank me. Especially if you decide you want to maybe slick back the, I don't know what your hair's looking like currently, but throw on a leather jacket.
And get my John Travolta on?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
White tee.
Oh, it's so good.
This is not making my life any better, Rico, by you
little
bringing
spring
this up.
Loving.
Huh?
Olivia Newton-John, like the original actors and actresses, will be singing?
It says, instead, the network will air a sing-along version of the 1978 film Grease starring John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah, so this is yet another time that I have to actually watch Grease.
Exactly right.
How is that a positive for me?
Well, if Grease leads to, I don't know, coconut oil, maybe whatever it is, I mean, that could be a win-win. little spring lover.
Well, it typically doesn't lead to that, though. It doesn't work out.
A little spring lover.
I can see Chris stand up. Let me take this one. Summer loving. Right?
Happened so fast. Come on.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh.
Could be doing it. Oh. Pull out the cooking spray. Here we go. Did this. I have a great cooking spray story, but I can't tell it on the air.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Did this happen in Florida? Here we go. Pair of shoplifters decided that they weren't going to wear masks. It's too easy. Why would you wear masks? No, what we're going to do is we're going to take watermelons and we're going to hollow out the watermelon and we're going to cut two eye holes and we're going to wear watermelons on our heads to rob a store. Oh yeah. They were wearing watermelons with cut out eye holes as masks.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. And there's video. They have halves of watermelons with eye holes on their heads.
I mean, to go through all of the effort to hollow out a watermelon just to use it to cover your face.
Oh, watermelon is delicious. I don't know if I would wear it as a mask, but it is delicious.
But I just don't even understand why you would go to such lengths to use a watermelon to disguise your identity.
They're going green, repurposing, I guess. I mean, why let the rind go to waste?
The watermelon goes over the top of the head all the way down?
The watermelon, yes. Like, think of, like, if you cut a watermelon in half, hollowed it out, and then you put it on your head as a helmet. Like, it's a watermelon helmet.
Now, how are they breathing through this thing? They probably, cut out a little nose hole?
No, there's no nose. It looks like a green alien head is what it ends up looking like.
Wait, there's video of this?
Yes, there's video of this. I'm not even joking.
Oh my God.
Shoplifters wore watermelons on heads.
Shoplifters wore watermelons.
This
is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Arrest has been made, just so you guys know. Did this happen in Florida?
No. And it goes back to the theory that's stood the test of time for me since this corona thing has started. Everywhere is Florida. This is not Florida. It's probably somewhere in the, I don't know, Louisiana, West Virginia area. I'll say not to Florida.
Okay. What do you think, Christopher?
Well, I just looked up the picture and I see the headline, so I know where it's at. And I'm
Santi,
ashamed.
What do you think?
And I'm ashamed to say I lived near there once upon a time.
You're more of a banana peel guy than a watermelon guy.
I got a backtrack. What, the West Virginia, Louisiana area? That's a pretty big area, Dave.
No, but I mean in that nook between those two areas.
That's a wide nook.
All I'm saying is it's not Florida.
It feels
a man wears a watermelon headgear into a store to rob it, and you take away my saying West Virginia, Louisiana area?
Listen, that's something that's south of the Mason-Dixon line for sure. I'm just not sure if it's going to be pinpointed to the Florida area. I'm going to say not Florida, but I definitely do feel it was in the south somewhere.
Yeah, see, if I went more citrus, if it was like more of a citrus fruit, you probably
would. It was an orange, like multiple oranges.
You have to have a tiny head together. Yeah, that's a tiny head if you're using an orange. No, that was Virginia, Dave. You are correct.
Central Virginia, Dave. Louisa County.
Oh, yeah.
You know who never is involved in this? North Carolina.
I don't know if we've had a North Carolina. You might be correct. I don't know if we've had a North Carolina.
We've never
recently.
Had a North Carolina.
Oh, there's North Carolina stories. I just don't think Rico has ever dug any up.
Right,
but
right.
Trust me, North Carolinians have done observation-worthy things. We just don't talk about it.
Yeah, we just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Here we go. Speaking of knobworthy, you guys know how I love the Bundesliga. Love it.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of the Bundesliga. So I was watching some of the Bundesliga. Unfortunately for Augsburg, they lost their first game to Wolfsburg 2-1. Here's the interesting part of that story. One of the people involved in this game, very important person, maybe even the coach, of Augsburg, unfortunately, wasn't able to manage the game. Would you care to guess why, Dave?
I have no idea.
Because he decided that he was going to... No, he was going to leave. He snuck out of the hotel while the team was quarantining and got caught because he needed to go buy toothpaste. So he wasn't allowed to manage the first game.
Oh, my God.
It's the coach.
Yeah, it's great.
The team is quarantining. He needs some toothpaste. So then he can't...
Nobody had some toothpaste he could use.
Apparently not. Uh-huh. So he decided to sneak out and was unable to coach the game. Did you see what happened in South Korea?
I did not, no.
The South Korean soccer team is reportedly apologizing for filling the stands of their fanless stadium with sex dolls for a weekend game.
But they couldn't just use normal cutouts?
No. That's what most teams do. No, FC right. Seoul decided they would use the sex dolls in place of the cardboard cutouts.
Did you see, by the way, that you can buy your sex own dolls, cardboard yeah. cutout?
Of you?
You can actually pay for it for the teams to use you as a cardboard cutout.
I like that.
Yeah.
Speaking of that,
much money. I think it's like $20.
Did you see the picture of Donnie on
yes.
the KBO with Boom?
Sailor Don, yes.
Love that. We got to get Don. The next picture of Don that has to go up there is the one when he's doing the horse racing.
But there's nothing funnier than that.
It's my favorite picture of
all
time.
It is unbelievable.
Because he's bigger than the horse. If I could get that picture, like the guy who made that Don, that life-size Don doll, if I could get like one of those to put in the garden, like a garden gnome Don dressed like that, would be fantastic.
It'd be great. You'd put it right in the garden, wouldn't you?
My brand new garden. Oh, absolutely.
Because it almost looks like a garden gnome the way he's dressed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
His outfit. With
yeah.
the goggles, I love it.
It's so good.
Here's an interesting, I don't even know if you can expect this, but this is, I mean, people are trying to obviously get creative. So this is a bar in Maryland. Have you seen this yet?
Mm-mm.
They've unveiled their solution to help patrons.
Oh, that you go into like a tube?
Yeah, the tube table.
Yeah. Yeah.
That has wheels on it.
Yes.
So just imagine it's an inner tube with wheels. So it's like if you put an inner tube on a walker, and then you get into the inner tube, and then you get to meander around on the social distancing table.
Right. Have you seen the video of this, by the way?
Yeah, I'm watching it right now.
And then there's one like random person not wearing it just walks by everybody.
Yeah, it's ridiculous,
yeah.
dude.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And here we go. And this is today's final observation. This is a personal observation. So what we've been doing now is Movie Friday, right? Movie Friday. Each Friday and occasionally Saturday. So it alternates. You know, Milo will pick what ends up being Jumanji, and then Ella gets to pick her movie. So we actually, this Friday, believe it or not, came to a consensus
nice.
That they both wanted to watch the new Scooby, as Milo calls it, Doobie movie. Scoob. Okay? So, I mean, I figure it's, animated movie should be age appropriate. So we're watching it. I'm not, super impressed with it, but whatever. Kids are enjoying it. Now, you remember Scooby-Doo, both of you?
You got to see this, by the way.
Candy, what are you watching?
We just got
the grease video?
Canty, have you seen this? It's Canty dressed in grease singing with Olivia Newton-John.
It's hilarious. Retweet that, Dave.
Stop, man.
Oh, my
Stop
God,
it.
Is this good.
Stop it.
Oh, Chris, it's so good.
Canty, you got nice hips, man. You got some
You're
serious
beautiful.
Hip movement.
And you can really Fantastic. Sing.
Come on, yeah. man. Come on. Really? We had to do this? This had to be done?
Tight jeans, white shirt, white t-shirt. Looking
oh,
good.
My God, is that funny.
Look at you, Canty, doing it. So anyway, so we're watching Scoob. So you guys have all watched Scooby-Doo before, right?
Of course.
Okay, I mean, the villain in this movie is Dick Dastardly, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they make a point, just because I have no idea why they decided to do this, that at some point Scooby-Doo is going to try to pronounce Dick Dastardly's name, but he keeps calling him because Scooby has like the... however he talks, keeps calling him Rick. So now he's upset. So he keeps now focusing on, no, his name is the D word. Okay? So I'm like, I look at Cassie, I'm like, really, we needed this? Not thinking like that it would lead to anything. So what the kids do now is, because I said I would like you guys at some point, we should all learn Spanish. So what they've been doing over the last couple months is they ask Siri on their iPads words in Spanish. Like, if they hear a word, they want to know what it means in Spanish, they'll ask Siri, what does this mean in Spanish?
Right.
So we're sitting around yesterday, not paying attention. I'm trying to get lunch ready, and Cassie's helping me in the kitchen. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I hear Ella ask Siri, how do you say the D word in Spanish?
Oh, my.
Yeah. How do you say that in Spanish? I was like, are you serious?
And what would you yell at? Siri, stop!
Yes! I had to go grab the iPad. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? That's all
Siri,
I need.
Stop.
The only Spanish word she knows is that. Like, what are we doing?
That's funny.
My little precious 3-year-old daughter asking Siri how you say that in Spanish.
Yeah, but it's genuine. It's not. She's not asking it maliciously. She's just
no.
Curious.
I know exactly right. But I don't need that.
No, nobody needs that.
Imagine she's walking around saying that word in Spanish. It's terrible.
Yeah, that'd be bad. Well, Grandma, I learned a new word in Spanish.
Hey, Nana.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There you go. That is a Monday edition of Knob.
I just got a tweet, Canty Zuko from the
group. That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
This thing is outstanding.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.